in HD Chicago. WJMK HD2 Chicago. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Scoreboard update.
From the Northwestern Basketball Update Studio, I'm Julie DeCaro. Join Coach Collins and the Wildcats when they return to Welsh Ryan Arena to host Minnesota tonight at 8 p.m. Tickets on sale at nusports.com. Well, after Bears GM Ryan Pace and head coach John Fox spoke to the media yesterday, owner George McCaskey stopped by 670 The Score to chat with Brian Hanley and David Haugh this morning. He talked about why he never considered firing his GM or head coach.
Both Ryan and John have improved the culture. That was very important. That John still has the locker room, very important. The players want to be here. They want to win for each other. They want to play for this coach. They want to bring Bears fans a winner. The development of the younger players was a factor.
Bulls got a win in Cleveland last night. They'll face Toronto on Saturday. Blackhawks back in action tonight against the Sabres at the UC. Marian Hossa likely back for this one. Brian Campbell is a healthy scratch. Corey Crawford will be in goal. This scoreboard update was brought to you by New Mail Medical Center. Discover the new you, newmailmedical.com. And get your copy of the Chicago Cubs Win the World Series audio CD featuring the most exciting moments of the 2016 season. Only $19.99. Order now at cbschicago.com/Cubs CD. I'm Julie DeCaro. You're listening to 670 The Score, celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk and the radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs. This is Chicago's number one sports radio station, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
And I love Terry. Terry Bowers it is, because he's Terry Bowers. He's the funniest man on the planet.
So, Pernell, there's a host at our station named Terry Bors. He just wanted to know if you've ever heard of him.
Nah. Hi, this is Terry Bors.
Hey, Terry.
I have long been America's friend. It says it on my business card.
I've been known to straddle many a hog.
I'm a beloved American treasure.
I'm drunk. I'm high. I could be the mayor of Toronto.
I'm prone to stupid.
I'm a rat bastard.
I'm black. And I'm black.
My ass hurts.
I'm OGB.
I'm not from this country originally.
I'm mad. I'm angry. I can prove it. I haven't.
I'm Jesus.
I'm a biatch.
I'm just an ignorant bastard from the South Suburbs.
Because I'm not like everybody.
Whoa, look out! Ducks! Whoa!
I'm not like everybody else.
Bears games should not be painful.
I'm not like everybody else.
You can kiss a sick monkey's wet ass.
I'm not like everybody else.
St. Louis bitches.
January 2nd, 1992, at 4949 West Belmont Avenue, a new era in Chicago broadcasting begins.
The Score, Sports Radio 820, WSCR, is the first ever all-sports radio station in Chicago. All of us on the Sports Radio 820 team, people like yours truly, Ron Gleason, Dan Jiggets, Dan McNeil, Mike North, Terry Bors and Brian Hanley, and many, many more.
25 years later, we gather to celebrate the retirement of one of the Score's very own.
The most pleasing thing that I could leave behind is that people, they listen to the station. I mean, there is a connectivity to this that I never would have dreamed possible. It is real. It is lasting. It's gone on a long time, kids. And with all the new people, it'll go on for a lot damn longer now.
It's a toast to Terry Bors.
Champagne for my real friends and real pain for my sham friends.
Cheers.
Cheers.
A celebration of the life and career of a true Score original, Terry Bors. And now, live from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage, here's your host for the final time, Terry Bors.
Thank you. I think that really kind of says it all there, that opening. That's a little bit of the crazy me, the wild me. If you notice toward the end, I didn't do much of that anymore. I stopped screaming at people. I had Dan to scream at people, so I didn't bother with them anymore. I completely ignored them. And I changed in that way, and I've changed in a few other ways as well. And I was just talking about showing emotion. And I think the thing that has driven this entire thing has been the emotion of it all. And it's I think it's good. I think it's healthy. I think when you, for so long, when you write for a living, you don't know what anybody really thinks, because I didn't really want to mess with the snail mail much, and I didn't want to hear from the PETA people and everybody else who was mad about something. So this is a much better meme to get immediate feedback. I mean, you got to text whatever it is, and I've gotten that, and I've learned over these years that how important that is, because it's like when you're writing,
you're not really sure if anybody's even paying attention. You write this stuff, and then a year later, somebody say, hey, I remember when you said this, or I remember when you said that. It's a little different when I got the column going. It helped a little bit. It showed more of me. But this has really exposed more of me, and particularly recently. I've had a real struggle with a lot of things to even saying goodbye, saying hello has been a struggle for me. We'll see how today goes. There's 32 guests, many of whom are in the building and ready to go already. So I look forward to talking with each and every one of them. It's sort of a trip down memory lane of this station, what it was for those who were listening in 92 when you can only hear it during the daytime hours. Shut it down at 4:30, and then we just go away, and I don't know, I drive down all the way down the Kennedy, then all the way down the Ryan. Oh, boy, that's quite a thing at 4:30 in the afternoon. Was that fun? That's really fun. So that's sort of where we were. And the guy that's sitting down here now is the guy who put Boris and Bernstein together. I don't know how he did it. We talked to him when during our 15th anniversary show, and Ron Gleason, who I've known for a long time, going all the way back to the days when he would annoy the hell out of everybody in the Bears press box. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Will you stop testing and get this stupid crap done? What are you doing? But anyway, Ron Gleason joins me, and he is indeed the one who, in the alley at 4949 West Belmont, made Boris and Bernstein happen. And I think we succeeded, Ron. Did we do okay for you?
You lasted a couple of years. There were a couple good years, and then some, you know, not so good.
Some really bad years. Yeah, I like really bad years. We had some of those. Yeah.
You know, I was thinking before I came down here. You know, what could I say nice? I couldn't come up with anything.
Well, that'd be a struggle. Yeah, I get it.
No, outstanding. First of all, congratulations on your retirement.
Thank you.
Congratulations on an amazing run in radio. Congratulations on making the right decision to leave newspapers and be a radio guy. I recall the time, I think I'm going to go back to newspapers. I'm going to stop doing this.
That's when I met with Dan Bernstein. I was like, wow, are you kidding me? I'm going back writing. No, literally, the first year. From January to August, I was still working for the Sun-Times.
Yep.
Completely uncertain if I wanted to do this.
You and Brian Hanley, were sharing time with Dan McNeil in the afternoon.
The young sports writers.
And then, as I recall, Brian got reassigned and had to cover something else for the newspaper, wouldn't be available as much, and we went to you and we said, we want you to be here full time. And you said, I don't know if I want to even do this anymore. And then you did.
Yeah.
And then you did it for 25 years.
You did it for 25 years.
That's not too bad.
It was paid
for what? Four of the years?
Four or five of them. Yeah. It was very frustrating because I felt like that Dan McNeil and I were pretty good. That was pretty entertaining. We'd done it before, and yet nothing was happening. Nothing was happening. And then when that ended, you know, that was turmoil around the station, as you remember. That was turmoil for everybody involved.
We never had turmoil.
Oh, my God.
What are you talking about?
No egos running around, nothing. Everything was fine.
Nobody ever said a bad thing about me on the air.
Everything was fine. But no, it was a difficult decision. And I think about that now. How dumb am I to make that a difficult decision? It should have been an easy decision to do this. It should have been. I mean, it's like, what are you worried about? I mean, if you want to go write somewhere, you can go write somewhere.
Look, you were a natural. I remember hearing you long before the score started, filling in, doing sports writer shows and other shows like that. The Young Sports Writers was a program on the weekends with you and Brian Hanley.
That's right.
Which was outstanding. You know, people don't realize everybody had to work weekends in the early stages. So you worked not only Monday through Friday, but also did a Saturday show. And you would do shows with Brian. They were outstanding shows. But we had very different pairings with all of the guys during the week with different partners on the weekends. And that was some of the best radio you ever heard. Great stuff.
What made you make up your mind that Dan Bernstein and I would be good together? Because I wasn't sure what it all meant at the time, because I know there's a lot of turmoil going around when that happened. What made you, were you sure? Were you positive?
Yes.
Was that a decision you said, I got this right away?
I was convinced that if we were going to make some changes and rearrange some things, that was the right pairing. And we had a lot of conversations behind closed doors talking about, okay, you know, it's a mesh of chemistry, of different kinds of personalities. You don't want two people that sound alike. You want people that have different opinions. You know, Dan Bernstein was the intelligent one. We figured we could pair him with you. No, seriously, you know, the one thing you bring to the table that...
Stupidity, in other words.
Well, yeah. the one thing you really brought to the table, there were times there would be something serious happening in the world, and you could be serious, and you could be sincere, because you're one of the funniest people who most of the time can't say anything seriously. But when something is really important, it all changes. And so you were a human being, and we wanted people together who could be, well, Dan's not a human being, and you are. So
I kind of figured that. Yeah, that's is that why it works? I mean, because nobody knows why something works.
It's about you try to figure out chemistry, right? You have a marriage.
Yep.
Carol's sitting here, your wonderful wife.
Mm-hmm.
You have a marriage. You figure out if it works or not. Some people don't last very long. Some people last a long time. In your case, it lasted a very long time.
Very long time.
What a great career. A great career. A great person, really. I loved working with you. I can honestly say that you're one of the few people who didn't rip me on a regular basis. But actually, I respected those people as well. It was a great crew of people to work with. But you in particular, you got it. You weren't a complainer. You understood. We talked about things, and you would do some of those things. Who are you crapping? You know, with and Dan and Mike Ditka originally, and how that all kind of started. Amazing stuff. I still have my Who You Crappin' t-shirt at home.
I have one too. I have it all buried in there.
Actually, I have like 10 of them if anybody wants to spend like $1,000 on a shirt.
And I want everybody to know here something else. And Ron, I appreciate you coming by. Is that aside from, you know, old time score t-shirts, we have new t-shirts that I can't quite believe from Amazon. That are Terry Boris for president, and none of my family had anything to do with them. Is this true? Or this is absolutely true. You can go to Amazon right now. You can find them.
For what year, by the way?
Right now. Right damn now. That's what I'm thinking. I got 4 years to get ready for the next election. But, yeah, it's really funny, and I had no idea this was going on, and there they are. And now I am thinking about 4 years from now. I should do it.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck is right.
Good luck and God bless.
All right, Ron. Thank you very much for the kind words and everything over the years, my friend. Thank you. Ron Gleason. Big-time radio guy. And now we need to go to the phone lines because I understand somebody else from the Wayback Machine is on the line, Harvey Wells, who was running the station along with Seth Mason and Dan Lee way back in the day of the score. I'm looking at Tom Sherry. I can't get a reading on Tom Sherry. Maddie, can you get a reading on him? Does he look like he's okay? I mean, I don't know if he's constipated or what his deal is. But anyway, Harvey Wells joins us. Hello, Harvey.
Is this Terry Boers?
It is. How are you?
First of all, you need to call me Harvey Well.
Well, that's what I called you. That's true. Harvey Well.
Otherwise, I wouldn't even know who I was speaking with right now. Terry Boers, son of a gun. Has it really been that long? Has it been 25 years? Is that even possible?
It's possible. 25 years.
It certainly wasn't probable when we started, was it?
No.
Holy cow. You know what? You talk about the Wayback Machine. I really started thinking, and it hurt. First of all, it really did. Thinking back when we started 25 years ago. By the way, first of all, happy retirement to you.
Thank you.
You deserve it. You deserve all the happiness in the world. You are one hell of a talent, and I mean that sincerely. You know, but the one thing, when I think of Terry Boers, I can only really think of one thing, Terry, and you know what that is? Our special place. Do you remember our special place?
Our special place.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Okay? It's a little Chinese joint.
Oh, yeah.
Hung Hua.
Yeah.
Remember Hung Hua?
Hot Chinese. Yeah. I remember it very well. I ate it when I was trying to lose weight.
Let me tell you. Yeah. Terry and I discovered, first of all, Terry was the only person I ever wined and dined. Okay. Terry, I don't know if you know this, but Terry from time to time could get a little sullen. And any time Terry got sullen, I would say, Terry, it's time for you to go to Hung Hua, which you'll be happy to know is a restaurant that is still in business on the northwest side on Fullerton. And believe it or not, they got like 4.5 stars. So we did something for their food. We would go to Hung Hua. I'd say we went there, at least a half a dozen times, if not more.
Yeah.
And he would go. The waitress, as I recall, was also the owner.
Mm-hmm.
And Terry would always flirt with her. And he'd go, hot Chinese, hot spicy. And he would order, and I couldn't do it like you could. I simply can't. But he would order the hottest, meanest Kung Pao chicken, and then would have the hot and sour and go on the air after that. And it was a scary time. But that's kind of what I remember.
Boy, that's way behind me, too. I would love to do that. I would love to do that again.
You know what? And amazingly, like I say, the restaurant is still there. But beyond our special place, Terry, seriously, when I think about the score and starting it off with you there, you were the young sports writer, right?
Yes, I was.
Did you talk about that today yet?
Not a little bit, but not too much, no. I mean, just the fact that I couldn't make up my mind for a while what I wanted to do.
Well, you guys, you and Brian Hanley were the young sports writers.
Yeah, we were the young sports writers, which is...
Think about that. We mock the thing we are to be, Terry. And you can quote Mel Brooks on that. You've become now the not-so-young sports writer.
That's true.
But back then, think about it. There was no internet. There was nothing like we have today. The big guys there were TV and the newspapers, and WGN had the sports writers. And I'd have to say that virtually every single one of us wanted us to look kind of like Chernobyl. They wanted us to blow up as quickly as possible. And we fooled them, didn't we?
We did fool them, yeah. I mean, for a while they were fooling me, but yeah, it took a while, but we did fool them, Harvey. And I really wanted to, you know, appreciate what you did for me. And you did help me. I mean, the fact is that I was a sullen bastard. I mean, there's no doubt about it. There's no question about that. And I got in those moods, and I just, for whatever reason, I couldn't get out of them. And I would go around with Dan McNeil as well about, you know, you have to stop sort of being you to do this job the right way. You never bring that to the air. You don't want to be that guy. But, you know, it was part of me, and you noticed it. Danny certainly noticed it. But I think I lost it in a relatively short amount of time.
You did.
Yeah, I wasn't, you know, I realized when that light goes on, it's time to go. You can't, there's nothing on your mind. You're not going to be down. You're not going to be whatever, you know, because you are, and I've learned how much people love the station and depend on you to help them. I mean, if you can't help yourself, then how are you going to help somebody else get through the day? So, I mean, it's sort of, you know, but I learned pretty quickly, and you were one of the guys definitely that's wondering what the hell's wrong with you.
Well, that's when we went to Hung Wah, and you know what? A little spicy, yep. Hot spicy. Cured you immediately, and you never took it on the air, Terry. You really didn't. And like any athlete, our guys always came to play, and there's been a lot of sort of redoing history since we started. But the one thing that I recall is we were the guys who were the rebels. We didn't take any prisoners in the beginning. We were out to change the way sports was reported and talked about. And I think we got a lot of people a little, how shall I say, antsy. But in the end, I think we did it right. And for 25 years, Terry, you've been doing it right. And I got to tell you, you know, you and Dan have just been totally entertaining to me. I didn't get you all the time, but when I did, pretty damn entertaining stuff. And never, I mean, you were, how, and I know you got a busy show, but I want one more thing. Mm-hmm. Not many people can say they were around when the Big Bang hit. And I really think you were around when the real Big Bang hit, and that's when Ditka did Who You Crappin'. I mean, come on. That was...
Yeah, God bless Mike Ditka. Yeah, what a great American he is. So, yeah, I you know, yeah, that kind of fell in our laps. Yeah, there was, you know, he was good for something. I wasn't sure what it was, but he was good for that.
You wrote that bit for 25 years, Mike.
Yes, we did. We retired it the other day, and it was a terrific last edition, by the way. It was just remarkable. Because, you know, Harvey, some Thursdays there was really nobody there, or Dan ended up reading... mail for half an hour, so really but anything the last 25 years you're pretty happy about.
Yeah, no, you've been a tremendous talent, and I think Chicago radio is going to miss you, but you deserve everything you can get, and just enjoy the rest of your time, and I just appreciate being a part of your life, and if you're going to hang around Chicago the next time I'm up there, hot spicy, you
hot
and me,
spicy,
okay?
You let me know. Yeah, right. Let me know.
God bless you, sir.
All right, Harvey, thank you very much. That's Harvey Wells, who was my boss for all the time we were on Belmont Avenue, which lasted a while before we went to NBC Tower and then to here, which is just a gorgeous place, as everybody who's up here can see. And it is funny about that old place, that old bunker. I mean, when you did the show, you were rubbing thighs with the guy next to you. Danny and I were rubbing each other the entire day. I mean, it was just like, Holy God almighty.
Well, then, Terry, how do you explain what happened here in the roomier studios where you and Bernstein still rubbing each other for no reason?
Well, it's just a necessary part of the show. Yeah, I've turned into a much more friendly kind of man.
No, guy. You've always been friendly with the men.
Oh, yeah.
Don't worry about that.
I'm a contemporary. You know, I go where it's hot.
During our toast for Terry today, we've had some great sponsors take care of the show as well as bring in some food. And our friends Jared and RJ Melman, they brought in food today from Hub 51, located at 51 West Hubbard. Hub 51, eat here, drink here. And we'll continue on with our guests.
Our guests are coming up in the first up after we get done. Oh, my God, Jeff Schwartz. Oh, my God, the man who put together, for those who go all the way back, Bolarama and the old golf outings and everything. Anyway, Jeff Schwartz will join me. We got the score. Sports. Oh, wait a minute. He is here. Oh, he's here right now. Jeff Schwartz joins us. Hello, Jeff Schwartz.
Hello, Terry. How are you, my friend? I always love following Harvey Wells. That's what I've done my entire life, and I'll continue to do it.
Yeah, it's funny because when you were around, we did so many things. You put together so many things, and I didn't realize how much time it took. Just even put together like Bolarama, which seemed like it was fairly simple. It wasn't simple, was it? I mean, you spent a lot of time promoting this station and helping everybody at the station and so doing. And it really, for a long time there, in the golf outings and everything else, Jeff, I mean, those things are not easy, and they're also not part of the score anymore. I don't think we've done a Bolarama in a while, Maddie.
Well, you know, it comes back, Terry, and thank you. You know, you guys made what I did and what Sleepy Chirilla did, made it seamless, because everybody on the air, and this is where radio's changed, everybody on the air just wanted, I still never will forget, the fishing thing that that Mac did. You were there, and I still remember
My
father, may he rest in peace, was on the boat at the Fisherama, or whatever it's called.
Fish Fest.
Doug Buffone. Yeah, Fish Fest with Doug Buffone. And they come back, and my dad was like 90 years old at the time. And he comes back and he says, "Is everything okay with Doug?" I said, "Why, Dad? What's wrong?" He said, "Well, he fell asleep while we were fishing." And I mean, we just made it seamless because we didn't know what we were doing. I think that made us good at what we did. We didn't overthink anything like everybody in radio does right now. And it's just my pleasure to be on with you, man. You are just one of the best of all time. And Chicago, I think Harvey said it, and I will reiterate it. Chicago will miss that voice of yours and that humor of yours. And I don't want to make this that melancholy, but I want to thank you from my heart. I just brought up my father. My father used to come to the score almost every day, and he would stand in back of that bomb shelter we worked in. Mm-hmm. And smoke a cigar outside with you. And the memories my father has of all the score personnel, but just smoking a cigar back there with you, you're one hell of a guy, man. And the score back then was a special place, and you made it just that much more special.
Well, Jeff, I appreciate that, but that's not true. You're the one who put all the work in that stuff. And how the hell could I convert Fish Fest? I mean, every time we had Fish Fest, I ended up so sick, because we would go on from there and go up to Lake Geneva from there. I was so sick, and nothing I took could stop the seasick. There's not a damn thing. Sick every time.
I still remember when all the boats got out. And Sleepy Chirilla and I are standing there saying, "Thank God, every boat's out. Now we can rest for a couple hours," right?
Right.
All of a sudden, we hear a horn blowing. It's Tom Scheer. And he got there with all the boats already gone. And he said, Space, you got to get me out there. And I said, "How do you want me to get you out there, Tom?" But he was late. I still will never forget that. It was just, you know what it was?
He remembers, by the way. Tom is agreeing with you. He remembers, yep.
I'm telling you what it was back then. We had fun what we were doing, and we didn't think about it as a job.
Yeah, that's true.
We really didn't. And we didn't have that paranoia that, oh, my God, we're going to lose our gig or whatever the case may be. And it came from the top, working for Danny, for Seth, Mr. Banana, in his pocket, and Harvey. And it just made it that much more easier for all of us. Why not have fun if you're working? Why not?
No, you made it fun. I mean, your work and to do that kind of stuff we did, we met a lot of people, and I didn't realize at the time how important it was to meet all those people that we met, whether it's Fish Fest or the Ballarama or the golf, whatever yeah. it was. You met a lot of listeners, and I know how much work that was, my friend, and I just wanted to grab you and say thank you for everything you did for this station as well.
And I will say thank you for everything, and thank you for the kind words, but it was a group effort, and, you know, that's what made it special. Now, what makes life special is our grandchildren, and, you know, how many do you have? 85?
Five. Two of them are sitting right here.
I have two of them, and, you know, we live far away now out in California, but my grandson plays hockey, and he's coming out here with the family for the NHL All-Star Game. So grandkids make it all special, and we were touched, and we all became a family. That, you know, remember one thing, behind closed doors, we all put each other down.
Yes, we did. We hated everybody. That's true.
No, I did. I only hated some, and I think you know who. So the bottom line is be well, be happy, and let's move on, and let's always please stay in touch. The note you sent me a couple weeks ago touched my heart, and thank you, buddy.
All right, Jeff. Thank you for everything, my friend. We will be in touch. Jeff,
love you, pal.
All right, love you, too. And he was the guy that put together everything, along with Sleepy Chirilla. Are my guy, Sleepy. And now I'm joined by a guy whose voice you probably heard for a long damn time in this city. This goes way, way back. David Schuster is with us. And David goes way back to when did you start covering sports?
Out of my mother's womb.
I know. I remember you when I was writing. You were roaming around, oddly. That's a long damn time ago.
Yeah, it is. And I, sir, first of all, I want to congratulate you for everything. I was always wondering what it was like to be part of a Ralph Edwards This Is Your Life show, and that's what this is today, at least for 25 years. But before we even talk about radio and broadcasting, which is obviously paramount to what we're doing here today, I want to pay homage to you because we are your family here, and you spend more time, I know I do, with people that I work with and even my nuclear family. But really, Terry, where you shine more than anything else is as a family member. And I know what your boys and your grandchildren and your beautiful bride, Carol, mean to you. And you've been a shining example to many people, including myself, for being a father and a father figure to everybody. So I want to start right there. And I think you really deserve kudos first and foremost for that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm very lucky. Very lucky. I got a great wife.
And they're very lucky because they've been able to share all these sports moments over the years, and that's a pretty cool thing.
Yep.
But as far as radio and sports and everything else, I don't know if you remember this, but my first memory of you, and I do go back a ways.
We go back a long way,
Even long before the Score even became, you know, its inception, is in the Bulls locker room. In the coach's Bulls locker room, I don't know if you remember this, but I remember when you were, you know, with Bob Sacco Sakamoto and Jim O'Donnell, and we were in Stan Albeck's office, and I just remember you guys having such a good time, and I was
the Brillo pad,
and Kevin Lockery also, who was a card.
I
would sit and watch all you guys, specifically you, and how you dealt with, you know, the different things, and this wasn't life and death, and that's something that has always stuck with me, and I wanted to emulate you, and I wanted to be part of this family with the Score for a long time, and I wasn't right off the bat, but I was fortunate to come further down the road and be part of this.
I'm glad you did.
And some of my great memories, and I love this with you and Danny, of course, is being, you know, calling in with tape from the different venues, whether it was Ozzie Guillen or Lou Piniella, and this was just gold, that I'd be able to play some of these cuts with you on the air from the different venues, and then be able to, you know, you had to be quick. I mean, going on with you guys, it was like doing a Second City, you know, live skit, because you never knew where you were going to come with, and I had to be sharp on my toes, and I just loved every single moment of that. So again, I really want to congratulate you on everything, and I've been proud to be your teammate for a long, long time.
Well, I feel the same way about you, and I think there's a certain, you know, with a lot of people at this station, I think over the years we've learned to love each other even more than people think. I mean, I think there's I think it works better that way. I mean, you don't have to love them. Look at Jason here. He's not even looking up. Look at my guy. I haven't seen him in forever. My guy right there. You know, there's a certain, and the station's carried over from those early days in the bunker to the NBC Tower to here. All of the feelings you're talking about have carried over. And you've been part of that. And yeah, not as much a part of like George Offman with his magic, his radio magic he came up with us for. I mean, he made, George made my our day. I think I quoted the year twice. You, much safer. You were fine. I don't remember David Schuster like going crazy or just anything that was just really out of line, just very professional.
Well, there's a lot of sound bites on the station over the years with my
Yeah,
full
I know.
Trust
I know
me.
Those things. Yeah, we have some of those.
But no towering line drives is what you're referring
no,
to.
No, no towering line drives. Yeah, I remember arguing with him about a towering line drive. What?
Skip Carey, whose pappy was the legendary Harry and whose son is Skip, died in his sleep last night. Make that his son Chip.
There he is. Made our day, man. Made our year. Guy right there. You didn't have one of those.
But Terry, I'm so happy for you because you know you're going out on your own terms. You're going to go and have a good rest of your life for a long, long time. Again, you get to enjoy it with your bride and your family. And I'm really proud of you. And I was just happy to be your teammate for all these years.
Well, I feel the same way about you, my friend. Thank you so much, Oprah,
thanks, Terry,
for everything over the years. David Schuster, ladies and gentlemen, one of the best reporters in this city. And at 1:30, look who's sitting next to me now. It's like, are we going to do the young sports writers? Can we do this? Now he's owning horses and complaining about owning horses. Boy, this guy right here, my guy Brian Hanley, is joining us.
At least the parking was free on Belmont. You couldn't get a raise, but the parking was free.
Oh, my God. How are you, my friend? I know the horses. I got the story on the horse. I could give you that story, too.
Yeah, usually I follow your lead, and you've been a hell of a mentor to me throughout our days of the Sun-Times, and you went down the ownership horse ownership path one point,
mm-hmm.
and I was dumb enough to do it again. Follow your lead.
Even though it's with Eddie Olchek.
No, right? It's been a lot. It's actually a lot of fun, but they eat a lot.
Yeah, expensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Expensive habit. They're more money. He's a thoroughbred. They're more money than our little harness horses. My little harness horse didn't take that much. He didn't take $55 a day to take care of him.
Yeah, this horse has traveled a lot more than I have. We used to travel quite a bit with the Sun-Times. And, you know, I wanted to say, Terry, you know, yeah. back in the day, we were both working the Sun-Times when we started at the Score. And as, you know, Jeff said and Harvey said, we didn't know where it was going or if it was going or whatever. And there were times where you didn't know whether you wanted to see where it was going to go because you were the lead columnist at the Sun Times. But I can honestly say now, because of your 25 years, a big part, if not the major part of it, you know, the Score has really supplanted, I would say, the Sun Times. Back then, you know, the Tribune, the Sun Times, when things were reported in there, it got people's attention.
It did.
And I would think because of your stay here for a quarter of a century, I think I can say with all honesty, what's said on the Score resonates to the point that the powers that be, whether it's, you know, the different teams in town, certainly with the fans, it's certainly on par with the newspapers. And I think on some days it resonates much more than the print page. And I don't, you know, I don't celebrate in saying that. I think it's just, it's fact. It's where we're at these days. And it's because of, you know, your presence here at the Score more than anything that legitimacy is, you know, Harvey and Jeff talked about. You know, back in the day, Ron said we weren't going to have teams on the Score because we didn't want to be beholden to teams. And we didn't, you know, we wanted to speak honestly and freely. And if they had an opinion, express it and not worry about stepping on people's toes. Obviously, that's changed. And if you want to pick up some Cubs CDs, I'm sure you can pick those up in the lobby.
Yeah, I believe so. I think you probably can.
Yeah.
Get anything Cubs, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't, you know, I think that to me, actually, even though what was said early, the fact is that what happened this year, even though I couldn't participate in much of it except watching it, what an amazing thing to happen to the station, particularly when you consider we used to go off the air at 4:30 in the afternoon in the winter. I mean, our Saturday shows were just kind of like you and I, whatever the hell we were doing, and vamping for 4 hours or whatever we did.
Who was it, Steve? Who was the guy who drove in from Kansas City to do?
Steve Grad.
Steve Grad would come in, drive. He would drive round trip longer than, you know, a month's worth of shows. It would take him, I don't know, 6-7 hours to get here to do a 3 hour. So I think, and wasn't he the one who did it in the dark?
Yes, he did the show.
You'd walk in, and it's like 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and the studio's dark, and you hear a voice. I'm like, who the hell's that?
That's him.
Some guy from out of town's doing the early show.
Yes, indeed. At least we had the light on. We were in Inova, but he was, yeah.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people who roamed through those halls early on in this station. But I knew from the very beginning that you would be one of those guys that would be sticking around, because we'd known each other well before that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'd known each other well before that.
I know when you thought, you know, maybe you want to stick around the newspaper business, because I would courtside seat with Jerry Krause would come up romping about something you wrote, and you'd be having a debate before the Bulls-Sixers playoff game in Philadelphia, and he's, you know, let me ask you something, Boris. You know, who was he guarding? And you'd say, my answer would be nobody. And, you know, and Cross would, it was worth the price of admission. I'd pay to see that, but we had some great times on the road, and, you know, the different characters that you engaged with every time. And again, you were not only the best beat writer in terms of reporting, those game stories were legendary, and you took that talent right to the air. You took you being you in the quickest wit I've ever known. I'm not just saying that because it's your day. I mean, and people who've been listening for all these years know that. I mean, it's unbelievable how you come up with a line, turn a phrase, and I mean, you did it in print, and you've only excelled in doing it on the air. And again, that's become a huge part of your talent here at the Score.
You know, what's funny too is that you not only was it great having you there, but I also the same stories you have. Your morning partner, because they'd tell those same stories.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
I mean, because he used to cover the Bulls when I was writing a column, and he was a trip on a trip. Oh, my God, was he a trip on a trip. Holy God. I'll tell the story. I won't tell when he's here. But he comes on the plane with a pizza, and we're going to Cleveland. I think that might have even been the shot game that Michael won. He comes on with a pizza. And he's got all these bags on him, and the people are like going crazy because the thing stinks, and he's like moving luggage around to stick stuff in there. This guy got up and wanted to fight him.
Oh, boy.
And Mully wanted to fight him back, because I'm going to put down this piece and beat your ass. And I was like three seats back going, should I say something like, don't do that, don't do that, just sit down, put your pizza somewhere and then enjoy. But he, you know, the plane's like 5 minutes from taking off and here he comes. You know, that's your morning partner. And a very successful show, by the way, terrific show. And Brian Hanley has been a part of this station since the first day as well. And a very talented guy that I've known for a long time. But I'm just going to warn you, you're going to be broke with that horse.
Oh, yeah.
Just be careful with that horse.
That's why I'm still parking on Belmont. And then just
parking on
trying to cut some quarters and save some money.
Oh, my God. Anyway, but Mully was, he was, also, he was around when the House of Books caught on fire.
Oh, we picked you up.
Yeah.
We were in Cleveland. It was a Monday Night Bears game at the old municipal stadium, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, you decided to come late or you couldn't get, we were all staying at a hotel downtown in Cleveland, such as it is. And we had a rental car, and we drove out to the outskirts of town to pick you up, and you were at this, I don't even remember the hotel, but there was like, was it a Pancake House next door?
Pancake House, and then the Smut.
Yeah, and Smut, House mm-hmm. of Books across the way. Mm-hmm. And
yep.
Apparently, when the fire trucks pulled up, that place cleared out.
Yeah,
it looked like a used car lot. I mean, like, you couldn't find a parking spot in there. We're picking Terry up, and this thing is like, people covering their head and running out the door, and I wasn't in there.
House of Books is on fire. We got to get out of here.
Doc Johnson, paging Doc Johnson.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and that
always Cleveland too. I don't know. As always, it's Cleveland.
Yeah, and that woman who came up to you while you were eating your lunch at the Pancake House, and we were like outside, and you're like, you can't believe what went on in there, broad daylight. I think it was a woman. Not sure.
Well, maybe. Might not have been. Yeah. there's always that possibility. But yeah, anyway, so we go way back. And I think Brian's contributions to this station over the years have been top notch and the top rated morning show. I mean, there's really not much more to say. And I think that what you've done here is terrific as well, my friend. And it's been proud to be your friend all these years.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. Again, you're an inspiration at the paper. You're an inspiration here at the Score. And Mully and I have been fortunate enough and blessed enough to have a pretty good run here. Really enjoy coming to work each and every day. And it's just a fraction of what you and Dan have accomplished all these years and what you've accomplished. So today's your day. I'm absolutely honored to be a part of it, honored to be a part of your life. And can't wait to get a horse with you so we can go broke together.
We'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll get one. We'll pick one out. We'll get it. And it won't cost you what it costs you now. I'll make sure of that. I got a guy. Don't worry about that kind of money. I got a guy.
Yeah. Terry, you're the best.
All right. Brian Hanley has joined us. Thank you, Brian.
We've had some great food brought in today for the Toast to Terry. You can follow along on Twitter at hashtag Toast to Terry. Real Urban Barbecue, one of our favorite spots here at The Score. You can visit Rub online at realurbanbarbecue.com. They have three great locations in Highland Park, Vernon Hills, and Oakbrook. Plus, coming soon to Skokie. Terry, back to you, my friend.
And I think everybody in this room knows exactly who's come up and sat next to me here. He is Pappy. He was the heart and soul of the station we started way back on Belmont Avenue because he's out of his mind. And the transitions we did with him were just something else. And I remember he said to me, I want to say you said to me on the air, Mike North, you said, just because I've never seen Deion Thomas naked doesn't mean I don't know Illinois basketball.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Happy 25 years. How you doing, everybody? It's great to be back at home. For a short time, it's great to be back with you. And Terry, when I found out that I was going to get the gig, and I found out the people that were being hired, and I found out that you were going to be the guy, one of the guys, along with Danny, who I listened to when I was mopping the floor at the hot dog stand when he was with at the Loop. And then when I heard I was going to work with you, it was a dream come true, because people don't know this, but I read you way before The Score or anything else. I mean, I remember the 60s. I knew every writer from Cooper Rollo to Dave Nightingale to Ed Prowell to Richard Dozer to all these great writers when everybody knew who newspaper writers are, to Brian, to Molly, and everybody else. But then the rebel that was the rebel before anybody else, and it wasn't easy to work at. You were before Mariotti. You were before Bayless. You had the right in an environment that was for sort of establishment, and you were anti-establishment. So you really started things off. You really did. And then I met you, and you and I never had a problem. Never.
No. And by the way, I've never seen Deion Thomas naked. You don't get in those college locker rooms. I
don't remember.
I can't say that I have.
But you know what? What a run. 25 years with the changes, the way that you were able to adapt. Because, you know, to be able to adapt from different companies, because we've started out with Danny Lee, a private owner.
And we did.
Mom, Pa, and then we went over to Westinghouse and then to CBS, the whole thing. So what a great run, and I can't believe it's been 25 years.
Why do you think it succeeded like it did? I mean, I know your show was the most important show, you and Jiggs will be by later on as well, and we'll talk to him.
Right.
I mean, why do you think you succeeded? I mean, is it just you, the common guy? That's what it was, right?
It was because I was... You know, I basically didn't have the training or the background, and I was too stupid to realize that we could fail, you know. And when I got the gig, I just shot from the hip, and it got me in plenty of trouble, but it also got the score. And I always made sure the call letters were in, and we all had our issues with the press, because Howard Sudbury was on with me the other day on a podcast I do, and he said that with the score early, it was all jealousy from everybody else. He said it hit him like they didn't expect it. You know, sort of like what we're seeing with this election process, that none of the mainstream media saw it. Everybody predicted us to be out in 6 months. You know that as well.
Oh, right. I know. Yeah.
And we didn't listen to it. And you know what? We'd have our little argument. It was like a frat house.
But yeah, we did.
But yeah, we had our backs and forths. Everybody did, because there was competition between the shows, because there was a couple sports stations that tried to make it. Didn't happen. And what was funny, though, is when somebody focused on the score, then everybody came together. And then we were a family. So it's a special day to be here and a special day down here. It's great to see your family. Carol, how are you? Got to give her a shout out. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that the idea of a very common touch to all of it was great. And you and Jiggs were spectacular together. And I mean, our transition some days with Danny, because Dan McNeil is going to maybe is here as well.
Oh, yeah, I saw Danny.
Out of his mind, too.
Well,
and so when you ran into him, it was just great. I could just sit there and listen to you two.
I always just tell Danny, you got the advantage because you got to listen to us for 4 hours, and then he'd come in. But he'd come in with the smoke coming out of his nose, and that's what was great. But there'd be no issues after that. You know, it was just something that he heard. And that meant we were all listening to the station. I listened to you guys.
Yep.
Danny, you guys listened to us. The thing I thought was unfair was the daytime thing, because you guys did not get the full opportunity that Jiggs and I did. But
we got the full rating of 0.00, though. We got that.
Remember, after 3 months, I'll never forget, I go home to BB, and BB's here. Hi, honey.
I saw BB.
Yeah.
Beautiful BB.
Yeah, and I said, we just got the ratings. We got zero. But I had been out on the streets every night. I go, wait a minute. Boris McNeil, Cher, Jiggets and North, all I'm hearing every time I go out, and I went out quite frequently, is the score's great.
The World Tour.
Yeah, it was like a buzz throughout the city that you can't even imagine. And I went from mopping the floor one day and the next day with a great, great station. It's the greatest sports station ever. Because you know what? The fan did not have, WFAN did not have sports in the morning. They had Imus. And so Tom Scherer took on the task of leading everything off. And it ended up working out. Everything worked out. Three shows, took on the world. And then look at what has happened now. 25 years with the Cubs. The pride that happened. When I was in the car and I'm listening to the Cubs on the score in the World Series, I can't even imagine. I can't tell you folks how proud I was of the station and of everybody else from where it's been to where it is now.
It's like your baby is a big boy now, right? I mean, when you hear those games on this station and they sound magnificent, our guy Dave Miska, who's in the back and doing his usual terrific job, I mean, that stuff is just pure gold, pure gold.
I turned it on, and I hear WSCR to score, and I think back to 92 when they were telling us we're finished and you're not going to get this. We're done. We're sinking. People taking shots at us in the mainstream media, sports, and otherwise. And I said, you know what? That only fueled me. That only, I think, aggravated, I think, all of us. We had, and can I say something about the leadership?
Yeah.
Danny Lee, Seth Mason, Harvey Wells, Jeff Schwartz. There's been other sports stations attempted, but the leadership of that station, Ron Gleason, Michael Damski.
Yep.
And by the way, one of the most important guys, and I tweeted out the other day, and you know, congratulations with you and Bernsey on the run you guys had. But George Hoffman, you brought it up earlier. He was on every show. And he would say something. Is he here or is he hiding? I mean, really,
I don't know.
A guy.
He'll be here later.
Yeah.
I'll let him know how important he was to all of us.
Wasn't he?
Oh, my God. Of course he was.
I mean, he would come on and then say something like the Towering Line Drive or which I still play. I mean, come on. Just when I'm relaxing at home with the wife. You know, but life's been good. I'm blessed, and I was blessed to work with a great crew and you. You know, we all had our own weird, how do you say it,
idiosyncrasies. Yeah. Every one of us.
I'd say I was immature big time. I say Danny was more of the angry man. You were the moody guy. I mean, I was all of the above, but I'm just taking my one bad trait. Jiggs was laid back. Everybody had a different type of thing, and I think that's what made it work.
It did.
Tommy was all business. Where's Tommy? He was all business. Sure.
Yeah, he's right there. He's all business.
Tommy was all business.
It's funny because I remember I was still working at the Sun-Times when we got to 0.00.
Oh.
And I thought, well, that's an interesting first take on the station that nobody's listening. And I thought, that can't be true. That can't be true because, as you point out, there was a buzz about
everywhere.
The station. And even though we were off, we were gone at 4:30 in the afternoon during the winter months. I mean, I just felt it in my heart that we were going to do this. I just felt it that we could do this.
I tell you what, and when I was downtown, everybody was talking about it. And you just look at what has happened since. And they straightened that thing out with Arbitron and everything else. But it was a great run. And when I got – I'll tell you what, Terry, you're one of the – funniest guys, in fact, you were the funniest guy of, I think, our whole crew, the whole group. To be honest, witty, quick. You set an example for me. I did borrow some of the stuff from you. because you made me, see, when you hear other people do it first, maybe you could jack the game up a little bit. You don't worry about the ramifications. There were at times, but it was all for the station, and I think everything worked out according to plan. Danny Lee told me this, the owner of the station, wanted me to leave this. He said, they had us losing money the first 2 years.
Yep.
He said, tell everybody, because I had lunch with Danny Lee a few weeks ago, and he's feeling okay. He said, we started out making $12 a spot for the sales guys out there, $12 a spot, because we were co-oping with, by the way, WXRT deserves a lot of credit. They were great to us, too.
Yeah, they are great.
Lynn Bramer and all the great guys. Norman.
There's a radio legend, Lynn Bramer.
Oh,
not,
yeah.
Not me, him.
And
that's a legend.
We went from $12 January 3rd for a spot. By the end of the year, we were getting $200 a spot. And we finished in the black our first year as a daytime-only station. Danny told everybody to extend that message how great the first year was when they thought they were going to lose.
Yeah, I had gone into his office more than once, and I kept saying to him, what are we going to do here? What should I do? Is this going to be okay? I mean, are we? And he said, I'm not.
I remember when Gleason says to me, Ronnie says, listen, you're not going to be able to say you were drinking. I go, what am I going to say? He says, say you went out and had soda pop. We had a brawl right there. I go, I can't go on the air when I was at Gibson's to 1 in the morning saying I was drinking Diet Coke. And as it turned out, we were all trying to find our way. We didn't know what was the right way, what was the wrong way, right?
You know? That's true. It was all feeling out. I remember I'd wander by that office and I'd see him sitting there, and it was his brainchild. He started it for $800,000, right?
Yes.
Holy crap.
And sold it for $77 million with XRT.
That's a damn fine investment.
I think he might have been with the guys he was selling it to the day Licorice ran in his office and did a pirouette in the office and then ran back out.
Oh, my
God. We brought the dog down there a couple times.
I remember.
It was a family atmosphere. Yeah, now it's different. I mean, look at this. Huh? Beyonce don't have a stage like this, like Terry Bores does. Huh?
Well, it's not exactly my stage, but yes, I'm just borrowing it for a day. But yeah, it's changed. The corporate has changed it. But you know, you never forget where you started and how you fought. I mean, that's the one thing about it that you know that broadcasting out of that little bunker in there, you never knew what the hell was going on.
I got to just say this. The Score made my life, period. And that's the bottom line. And...
That's well, it. I think that everybody there,
and I love the Score to this day. Period.
Everybody there stuck with it,
yep.
And you know, we got an audience as loyal. I mean, people, Mike, that I see today were listening 25 years ago. I mean, it is incredible.
There's some guys that are gone. I don't know what happened to Patio Steve. I know Raphael from Berwyn.
Both of them gone.
Gone.
Gone. Yeah. Like not gone a little bit.
But I remember all the callers. I remember that we were caller-driven. We did not have, and there weren't that many cell phones out yet. There wasn't that.
Nope.
The computer, there was no computers. Jesse Rogers, God bless him, he congratulated everybody. He's Jim from Tinley Park. He'd hold up the sign.
He'd hold up the sign, that's right.
You'd hold up the sign to yeah. get to talk to people. Then the baseball encyclopedia, we had a bookcase because you couldn't go to Wikipedia and become a genius like that. You had to know your stuff. But if you didn't, they brought out all these books, the media guides and stuff that the teams would send us. And then the teams.
Yeah.
I heard Greeny the other day, Mike Greenberg, from another station, ladies and gentlemen, who stared at me back in 1992, and I was staring at him in a meeting in the conference room. And he said, he's looking at me. I go, what are you looking at? And it was our first meeting. He goes, how you doing, my man? I'm Mike Greenberg. I go, that he said it made it hard for the reporters, as it did for probably Zach Zaidman and Danny and everybody else, because of stuff that was said on the air.
Yeah.
Not always by me, but a lot of times.
Yeah, you had
I fueled some things, and it made it tough for the guys, but, you know, they made it through. And they're all here now.
Yeah, Greenberg will join me later on
awesome.
Today. He's because we worked together several times. We did
a lot
of shows together. So, I mean, we...
I gave him the worst advice of his life. I said, listen, local sports is where it's at. You think so? I go, yeah. I said, listen, go to Channel 5. They're looking for an anchor. He goes, I've been offered this gig at ESPN. I go, are you out of your mind? What are they going to do? Thank God he took the job. Thank God.
Well, you knew he was going to. You know, there was just something about him. We had a lot of guys pass through those doors as you go.
Everybody's ambitious at the Score, even to this day. I listened to the guys coming in, Spiegs and Jason, who I know from when they were interning or whatever they were doing.
Young Jason from Evanston when he was 11 years old.
I felt
calling.
So bad for him. We had Jordan. They had argued about Jimmy Butler for a half an hour. We had the Bulls rolling.
Yes, we did.
They argued more than a half hour. And then remember when there'd be a call, the Bulls would lose one game. They'd be like 39-2. And the place would panic. The city would panic. We're only 24 games in front. You know?
I remember. I remember the trips, too, we took. I mean, the Bulls gave us some fun.
I'll tell you.
Got us out of town.
How about Caesars? We went to that place where the food was over salty, Bacchanal. Right, you know? And I go, God, this food's salty. You said, yeah, this food's salty. And Danny says, McNeil goes, this food's magnificent. We had a great, great time.
Yeah,
we
had
a lot of trips.
All food was magnificent to him at that point in his life.
And I want to say,
I think that's safe to say, my guy.
You'll be visiting with him soon. Believe
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
I
we
know.
Haven't mentioned Julie Swike.
No. I saw Julie Swiker the other day, yeah.
We haven't mentioned Bob mm-hmm. Bob Hillman. Remember the Saturday shows that
I had to do?
I heard somebody the other day compare Christmas. What was their favorite Christmas movie? Of course, they borrowed that from me and McNeil's What's Your Favorite Tree back on Saturday in 1992. You can tell it's a slow time in sports right there.
Light them up.
Light them up, Chicago. Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Come on. We worked one time together, and they said this isn't going to work. I remember we worked one time.
We did. Yeah.
I was brokenhearted, and but we were both like like cracking jokes left and right. I don't think we talked any sports at all.
Yeah, no, I don't think we did either. I you know, there was a certain thing there that early on we were able to talk about anything that really made it as well. I mean, I don't know what it did. It was more than sports, even though it remains a great sports station. The fact is, it was more than sports.
Oh, I always knew that, though. I mean, we always knew. When you go to a bar and you're four or five people, you're not just going to talk about sports. You're going to talk about politics, how hot the women are, the Blues, or the whole thing. And I thought that was the way to go. But you know what? There's no wrong way now. There's like 400, 500 sports stations, isn't there? There was like 12 to 20 when we took over.
Yeah. And there can't be enough of them. I mean,
oh, they're all over the place.
More and more and more. I mean, they love the programming. They can't get
enough. I saw one ad in Quincy. I looked at it with one eye. You know what I mean? I mean, they're all over the place. So, I mean, you got Rockford. You got everybody's got a sports station now. And a lot of cities have three sports stations. So. Yeah. You know,
I guess success does that to you. Anyway, I am so glad you stopped by today, my friend.
Love you, Terry.
It was good to see you.
25 years at the Score, this guy. How great is he? The best. Thanks, Terry.
All right, Nora, thank you.
Today's Toast to Terry is presented in part by your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, home of America's best warranty. Coming up, an update with our guy Chris Ranji from the Craftsman Mobile Studio. Also have some great guests in the 2 o'clock hour. Dan McNeil, Dan Jiggets, Tom Scher, and a Score original reunion you will not want to miss. Great wines that cover all the bases. Pick up a bottle of Chicago Cubs Red or Cubs Sparkling at your local retailer or visit MLB.com/wine for details. This is a Toast to Terry on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Gonna love you till the stars fall from the sky. For you and I.
Terry's final show on 670 The Score. 25 years ago, this was The Score.
The Score will have to earn its stripes, and we plan to do just that.
Now, this is The Score.
David Ross, World Series champion. What's it like to hit a home run in the World Series Game 7?
I don't know. I didn't feel it.
Thank you, Score listeners, for 25 great years. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's official radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs.
CBS Sunday. This season of Elementary has everybody talking.
I fascinate. This cannot be helped.
Critics call it impressive.
No murder should go unsolved.
Magnetic and fascinating.
He's out with some friends.
Since when does he have friends?
Inventive.
Is anything you're doing legal?
Define legal.
Never underestimate Sherlock Holmes.
Are you trying to clear his name?
If by you, you mean we, then yeah.
Elementary, CBS Sunday, or stream it live or on demand.
Most popular music 40 years ago, 1977.
Number 3.
Rod Stewart, Tonight's the Night.
Tonight's the Night.
Number 2.
Leo Sayer, You Make Me Feel Like Dancing. And the number 1 song this week, 40 years ago in 1977. Marilyn McHugh and Billy Davis Jr., You Don't Have to Be a Star.
You don't have to be a star.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
CBS Wednesday on Criminal Minds.
Let me out of here!
Ah! Sometimes to catch a killer.
We're no longer looking for a terrorist. We're looking for a serial killer.
You have to think like one.
He watched, waited, and hunted.
He's murdering those who make fun of him.
This is personal.
We should deliver the profile.
Dare to go inside.
Oh, God.
TV's number one suspense thriller.
They're desperate.
We're going to take these guys down.
Criminal Minds, CBS Wednesday, or stream it live or on demand.
When a hostage is taken,
help!
You pay or we kill him. One team fights to keep them alive.
What do we do now?
Get your son back.
CBS Saturday.
They're gonna need some form of proof that he's okay.
Sometimes life is a negotiation.
There's nothing wrong with being afraid. It's what you do with your fear that matters.
My
My one concern is preservation of life.
We're gonna get you back.
Ransom, new drama CBS Saturday, or stream it live or on demand.
CBS Monday. If there's one thing the Scorpion team knows...
I have an idea.
Are you certain about this?
It ain't easy.
Remember when you called me a nerd before? Get ready to apologize.
Being a genius.
What is the point if we don't stop what's bad in the world?
Brace yourself.
Things are about to get crazy.
The past crazy a long time ago.
For a brainstorm.
Can you guarantee we'll be successful?
I can guarantee that we're the only shot those people have.
Scorpion. CBS Monday. Or stream it live or on demand.
CBS Thursdays.
I see the baby's head!
A new comedy is born on CBS. Yeah! It's Life in